in this program, I really have not had a lot of anti-vaxxers, as they call them. You have one or two calls. And sometimes just one call can give the impression that the whole, all the callers on the program share that same view. I don't think that I'm hearing that. And, you know, it's to be expected that in these circumstances, there are going to be people who will have their doubts. There are people who feel that the vaccines have rolled out too quickly, that they can't understand why something that normally takes years it has been ramped up to such a degree that you can get it in a matter of months. Then there are people who are looking at the race, the ideological and geopolitical race that is taking place between countries, because everybody wants to be the first to be able to say, we did it, or to put themselves in a position where they are earning a lot of money from it. Others are saying, well, this is our way of being able to assert ourselves in the diplomatic arena. So they give you for free, but you got to wait and see what happens that in the next vote at the United Nations, and the degree to which they're going to be saying to you, well, having assisted you in this way, now you assist me in another way. So all of that people take into consideration, in addition to the fact that there are people in the society who don't like taking vaccines, who are fearful that they may not necessarily do what they're supposed to. So we have to fight that. We have to, and that fight can best be taken on by providing information about the vaccines, you know. Down to brass tacks, hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis and Mr. Hi. Warren. First question to you. I've been reading there in the paper with these court cases with the COVID. Now, when a little while ago, they told me there was a means test to for people to see if they can pay the fines. I saw it today in the newspaper, a young 20-year-old had a $2,000 fine and he's unemployed. Was there a means test there? So I try to understand if across the board is really a means test, or if it's a case of Animal Farm all over again. Did you see it, Mr. Ellis?
Well, I think your fundamental point is whether the court has actually been involved in a means test to determine whether the person can pay.
Right, the chief magistrate said when we had some issues with the tourists that a means test was done. That you do a means test to see what the fine, the quantum of the fine. But I'm seeing, as I said today, a 20-year-old, unemployed, and he has been fined $2,000. He unemployed, he ain't working.
So the story doesn't go on to say that there was a means test?
No, but he says in cases where you have those fines, there's a means test. That was from the chief magistrate. Okay. It was printed in the paper. All right, secondly, now with this whole pension issue, what I find is that the people who are dealing with these pensions forget that one day that they might become a pensioner because they don't treat with any fairness, in my view, and no speed in dealing with these pension matters. But tomorrow they can become a pensioner. You don't ever work forever. So they need to get to the point where they're saying, but for the grace of God, go I. And people are suffering with these pensions, and they need to put themselves in a man's shoes and say, well, look, tomorrow this could be me. Let me deal with this with some alacrity.
You think that people who are administering the pension plans are stingy? That they are?
They
you really believe that?
Yeah, they forget it's going to be them tomorrow.
No.
It happened in a lot.
I don't think so.
People just kick down the ladder, Mr.
I don't. Well, that's your way of looking at it. But let me say something to you.
Ask Mr. Waldron if he can realize it as well.
Let me say to you.
Mm-hmm, let me hear
that
it.
In all of this, you have different interests and you have different concerns. On the one hand, it is the person who is the recipient. On the other, it is the capacity of the government to deliver in that regard. And if too far east is west, and therefore to ascribe to people in this position just a stingy and a selfish dimension to their thinking is a little bit unfair, could be very unfair to such people, because they're balancing different interests, competing interests. And you need to take that into consideration rather than suggest that, you know, they forget that they are going to become pensioners at one stage, and that they're only kicking down the ladder and that sort of thing. That is not fair to people. There are a lot of people out there who are genuinely concerned about the extent to which, for instance, your national insurance scheme can survive. That's why we do the actuarial reviews and that sort of thing. People are very worried about the unemployment fund and how much money, well, in the sense of something in the vicinity of $140 million paid out between last year and now. So, you know, the country, in a country that has not really been earning its way in the world for a long time, the money got to come from somewhere.
But, Mr. S, if a man is entitled and the civil servant is there at the time, and the man is entitled to his pension, it's not really a government issue if they have the capacity to pay or not.
If he's entitled,
eligible.
If a person is entitled, then that person needs to press to get the money to which they're entitled.
But why have
you don't have a problem with that?
Right, they've worked all the years. Why have to fight so hard now to get your entitlement? Just do the job.
Everybody. There are a lot of people in Barbados who don't necessarily have to fight that hard to get it.
Ask Mr. Waldron. His view on it. It happens a lot of recent in the service. Mr. Waldron.
Well, Mr. Waldron, how you see it?
I won't say it's kicking down the ladder. The policy has to be set from somewhere. For example, with the Treasury, it could be one public officer take it upon him or herself to determine, well, look, this pension arrangement is generous and I'm going to start this double pension between medically unfit pension and also the pension from national insurance. Because it's the one from Treasury that is the issue. The NAS, of course, get yours. The issue is the determination by the Crown that, and somebody had to influence that policy. It then came to us in writing, but what they did, it had to be directed from somewhere. They wrote the persons individually and said from this particular date, they are going to apply the abatement to that.
And but the minister won't see that information. That information is not normally.
But the prime minister did intervene. The prime minister intervened, and what I don't understand is it was restored. But when you go to the treasury, some people are getting it, and they're due from a certain date. They're not restoring others. It depends on the date that you apply or you are eligible, and don't understand that. I don't understand that criteria.
Right. So it can't be a government problem. It can't be a policy problem. One person is getting, the other person is not getting. It can be policy. So we will see. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Mr. Warren, you need to come back to the question that was posed by the person who sent me the note about parliamentarians' pensions and the fact that they contribute to their own pensions and that sort of thing. They felt that.
Well, I won't be dismissive of that. It's not to inflame. I'm not dismissive if in their peculiar arrangement they do contribute. But obviously, and when you're looking at pension reform, you're looking at pension reform. Maybe there's not to dismiss or to inflame or to incite. We're seeing the masses are the ones who often enough have to be the brunt of the burden. And we have to be careful. I mean, the reality is pension reform is nothing new. All the NUPW is saying, we have to look at those areas of reform that detrimentally or in a significant way erode the benefits. For example, there are some like the vested for 3 years, that's a positive. Double taxation arrangements, we agree with that. They agree that the labor movement will not be accepting taxation. That's a given. So they didn't push taxing the authorities, calling, no, we will resist that in a very firm way. But there's some other issues that, like the 40 years, there's a big erosion. Applying the abatement from 60, even though you, for early retirement, don't want to pay the abatement, even if you don't pay for NAS, that doesn't make sense. So there's some significant changes. There are others that you can say they're not so significant that they will go to the detriment of those in the future. But there are other aspects of this reform that, you know, you still have to safeguard. We have a duty to safeguard that very social safety net that was put there for public officers. So it's not everything necessarily that we are going to resist, but those significant changes that constitute a variation or to the workers' disadvantage, we have a duty to really look at it and make the appropriate representation.
All right. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. We got, it's now 1:43.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
Not bad at all. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, too. I want to look at a couple of things here with you.
Mm-hmm.
Pensions. I, too, have got a couple of friends that get disadvantaged by this abatement of pensions. Now, the national insurance does pay pensions by age. And they got two types. You get the normal retirement age, and then they got an early or a late retirement age. But they do not pay the benefits that could be abated, because pensions could only be abated at 67. So if you got somebody getting a benefit from the national insurance before 67, it is not a pension, and it should not be abated with anything else. You need to wait till them get the normal pension up to pension age, and then you can look at abatement. So some that get abated should not have been abated, and some people that still qualify for it, that they stop and promise to give back, and up to now they may get it back, they're at a disadvantage, Mr. Ellis. You know, the election was sold with a hook line that mayor cares. It ain't living up to that there now. The people suffering, Mr. Ellis. And you know you don't like me to get on the fourth estate, but these are things that you all need to deal with out there. Take a look at...
No, you're getting a care. You're getting a care package sometime in the coming days, and that will demonstrate the care for you.
No care packages out already.
You don't get any?
And the way short. You know, I want you to get...
You get any?
The contents. If I get any?
Yes.
Indeed not.
You're taking none?
Huh?
You're taking none?
No, even if I get one, I would give it to somebody else.
Because
you can better believe that.
That's understood, but at least you, in that regard, you will be able to say that Mia cares.
That Mia cares?
Yes.
I told you already, you know, about waiting till the prison ignite and then running coming with a bucket of water, the outage. You know. And I can tell you now about setting this COVID pandemic. And now running, coming, this lockdown with the care package, you know, myself. You know, I tell you already, that, you know, these fancy things don't come to me. You know. We had Barbados sold as COVID-free. And somebody let it back in here, and we again, you know. We are going to cure it now again. And I want to see if come tour season, they're going to let it back in here again. See, I don't have a problem with these things. But the pensions, Mr. Ellis, people pensions getting abated that should not be abated. So I would like you and the fourth estate, now you got Walton and them, work on it and let the people that entitled to get it back. I hear you trying to polish up entitlements there just now. If you're entitled to something, you're entitled to it and you should get it. Don't think about you can't get it and you can't just find it and give them.
If I agree that if you're entitled to it, you should get it. I never disputed that.
No, Dan, you was not too clear on
I never it. Disputed you, that. What I dispute is labeling people who are in positions, responsible positions, as those who are kicking down the ladder and forgetting that they are going to be they're going to go get pension, be at a pensionable age soon, and you know, that kind of stingy image that has been portrayed the person sought to portray. That's what he stood up against. I don't stand up against what people are entitled to.
Well, okay, Mr. Ellis. Okay, we're not going to split hairs over it. But let the people that are at the gate keeping it work out whether the people entitled to it or not and give them something in writing stating that they're entitled to, you know, one thing, but me when I go anywhere and somebody definite, give me it in writing so that I can say, yes, this is what the body said, this is what happened, you know. And I want people that when they tell them no, ask for it in writing, and you can see that it can be a different story. Hey, homie, right. we can leave that there. But I got some other things for you. Don't run away, Mr.
What's some other things? You got one other thing I can accommodate today.
I can do what you want. Now, the COVID-19, Mr. Ellis, and vaccines. Mr. Ellis, from the time I was a schoolboy, we were getting vaccines. You could attest to that.
I got vaccinated when I was a child.
Yes. And from the time I was a boy, people was refusing vaccines. Refusing vaccines is nothing new. Up to now, they're claiming that they want a certain percentage for herd immunity, which means that them themselves are interested in doing 100% of the population. Why people jumping on people's backs because they don't want a vaccine? People that always refuse, even from polio times, people refuse vaccine. I didn't know if they went on to catch polio, but people refuse vaccine. So I think it is a choice. It is a democratic process, and it should be freely for you to choose which you want, if you want it or you don't want it.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. It's 1:50. Another 10 minutes to go in today's edition of the program. Hello? I don't think that anybody is forcing anyone to take a vaccine in Barbados. There are people who argue for, and there are people who are arguing against. And it is not being made mandatory. So I don't know why so many people are in such a state over this matter. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I would like to make three quick points, please.
Sure.
The first is concerning advice to computer users. It is not necessary to type in www. Before the website. I have not been using it for a long time, and it makes no difference. It is just a waste of time and effort. That's the first point. The second is, I think I heard yesterday on the radio that people should have the second vaccination within 6 months. I thought it would have been within 1 month. And after they get the first vaccination, are they protected against the virus?
My information is that the protection really kicks in after the second dose. That's what I am told by some, but I mean, again, these are areas that sometimes need a little bit more clarification.
But don't you think that people should get especially a second vaccination more quickly?
I cannot go against what the science says. If the science says that the first vaccination can hold for 3 months, then, and it will work once you get this, it will work best once you get the second dose. I will have to go with that. I can't go and say that you need to speed up the process.
Yeah, and my third and final point is, I think it's time that fines were upped on people who break curfew. Like, for example, a fine of $20,000 in a week or a year in jail. $8,000 or $10,000 is not enough.
Okay,
what do you
sir.
Think about that?
Well, you're entitled to your view. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Down to brass tacks. 1:53. Hello?
Hello, Mr. David Ellis.
Yes, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and welcome to your guest. I only have one question for your guest this afternoon. I'd like to know if the people, if any of the people, receive their pension checks that have direct deposit. Were those checks sent to the bank?
With direct deposits?
Yeah.
I can't answer that. I don't know if my guest knows the answer to that.
I'm not sure, but I think I understand it was done. Well, that needs to be verified.
I would like someone to call up that has direct deposit and tell us they received their pension this week.
Yeah, direct deposit is more convenient and it's easier, and then it's not a physical check. So I believe from some conversation I heard is my information that that was done. So
yeah. They received their pension checks.
You want the lodge direct to the account, yes. But the issue is he wants the physical checks is the issue.
Uh-huh. Now I understand the program. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. This person says, watch the lines for the pensioners at the post office and the markets next week. And you really would want to avoid lines as much as possible in the current environment.
Yeah.
But even the supermarkets continue to have some pretty long lines right now. So we'll see what happens. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good afternoon, Miss Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, what prompted me to call in today, I was there sitting down. I heard a lady calling about she work at the...
Child care board?
The child care board, right. Now,
yes.
I work in BDF, but through MTW. And I was laid off, remember the time in 1994?
Yes.
Right. So they give me the green paper, and I was supposed to go to, at the time, the place on White Park Road, which I did went. When I went there, the people in White Park Road said, there's no record of me working at BDF. No record of me paying NIS. So they told me I would have to go to MTW. I went to MTW. MTW said, well, we don't have a record of you paying NIS. You have to go to NIS. So I went to NIS. NIS said, well, we don't have a record of you paying NIS. You have to go back to BDF. So I got so fed up, I went back to NIS, and NIS say that there's no record of me paying NIS either. So it tells me one thing, because I had my Play 6 and my paycheck, and it showed that the $24.95, I think it was taken out, but not being paid in. You know, and I wonder if anything can be done about that, Mr. Ellis.
Well, the question of people being penalized for that is important. Employers who fail to do what is required, there are penalties associated with these things.
Yeah, but things like them isn't really fair to people.
You know, not fair at all.
I worked there over 2 years. 2 years. When I went to the NIS place, because I decided now I'm going to pay my own NIS, you know, as a self-employed person. And they tell me that I am 9 payments short.
Okay. All right. I think we have time for one more call, Dennis, or that's it for today. I think we're going to have to wrap it up at this point today. Thank you very much, Wayne Walren, of the National Union of Public Workers, for coming and sharing with us some of this information, vital information, as it relates to proposed pension reform in Barbados. I'm all for trying to explain these things to people before these measures get to Parliament. And this is where it's really useful, because if people have alternative views, they have the opportunity also to get those views to those who are taking them to Parliament, and quite a lot of legislation goes there, you know, without this kind of exercise. So thank you once again, and thanks to you, Dennis Johnson, technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis, and I really wish you a very pleasant weekend.